everyone, and welcome to the Racing Post podcast. My name is Chris Loader, and I am joined by my Racing Post colleagues, Robbie Wilders and Keith Melrose. Well, we'll be previewing the final 2 days of the Glorious Goodwood meeting. Before we get into the action, let's just catch up with the guys to see what their highlights of the week have been so far. I'll come to you first, Keith. We've had a good couple of days at Goodwood already, but what has stood out for you?
I was calling the Goodwood Cup on RP Live. It was an absolutely great race, wasn't it? To have four of them really still in it, a furlong, two furlongs out, and we don't get to see these clashes. It's obviously been a massive thing of Trusha never runs if it's too firm, and Strad never runs if it's too soft or whatever. And we finally got to see it, and bar Trusha maybe not running his very best, it was pretty satisfactory. So yeah, that would probably be there so far. And obviously we had Baid yesterday. It was Baid being Baid. He needs a worthy rival, really. But yeah, I thought the Goodwood Cup was the highlight so far.
Yeah, the Goodwood Cup was certainly an excellent match. All the big three powerhouses were there in the final furlong. And yeah, it was definitely probably one of the best renewals of that race we've seen for quite a while. And how about you, Robbie? Are you enjoying Glorious Goodwood at the moment?
Yeah, enjoying it, mate. I'd have to agree with Keith. The Goodwood Cup there, that was a pretty special race. Myself and Rod has actually handicapped the stayers. And we weren't actually, at the time, I thought maybe it was one of the best we've seen in recent years. But sort of the proximity of Stradivarius to Kyprios, and the fact that Trusham probably hasn't run quite as well as he did at Newcastle, probably suggests it wasn't maybe as good as we thought at the time. But I mean, it was still an excellent renewal.
What have you rated it?
We gave Strad 119 and Kyprios 120, but we've marked Kyprios up because I think he's the kind of horse that, I mean, he could win by further if he was challenged a bit more.
Yeah, he's a funny sort, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's kind of lazy, but he's also kind of tough at the same time.
I mean that was
brilliant to watch. I thought Strad was going to get there at one point, but
I couldn't believe he only went 5-4 in running. I was told. I mean, I thought he'd won it 50 yards out.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I was saying that myself as well. But that was the highlight of the week for me. I mean, Baid did what we expect him to do. Maybe he wasn't quite as brilliant as he has been in previous starts, but that's just his style, really.
I wasn't really around yesterday watching it live, but what he did when he came from, you know, he made up 3-4 lengths without breaking sweat in a very short space of time. I mean, obviously from a form point of view, you can't rate it very high, but that 100 yards, 200 yards worth of acceleration was worth the admission alone, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he needs a horse, really, a proper group one animal to challenge him. Hopefully we'll get that at York. And
He beat Palace Pier, didn't he? And that was the time to run the big figure. Really, yeah, it was a time to run the big. He's not a horse that's going to run big figures. He settles really well. He quickened really well. They're not horses that run big figures. So I don't think we'll ever see a 135 plus from him, whether he's got it in him or not, unless he runs against a 133 horse.
I mean, I was hoping Desert Crown would go to the Jugmont, and then maybe they could really sort of bring each other on. But we're not going to get that. So
yeah, that's true. That was the opportunity, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's going to be a case of more of the same at York, really.
Yeah, it was definitely a workmanlike performance from Baid, and it'll be interesting to see if he does take up his engagement in the international stakes in just a few weeks' time at York. So that's the action covered earlier this week. We want to talk about the action coming up over the next couple of days. And the first race we're going to look at is going to be on day four, Friday. It's a 2:25. It's the Bonham Thoroughbred Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest over a mile. And your favourite at the moment, just nodding it, is Check and Challenge at 2-1. We've then got Bayside Boy at 9-4, Berkshire Shadow at 3-1, Rogogini, the German Raider at 8, Sonny Liston at 25s, and Bigger Are the Rest. I'll come to you here first, Keith. Check and Challenge ran a good race last time back in Handicap Company at Sandown. Do we think he's the worthy favourite here?
I back this horse for the guineas. So I'm going to say so, I think. Obviously, in the guineas, he was on the wrong side, got there a few times. It was the third run of his career, too. But he looked the real deal when he'd won that race, the Burridon Stakes at Newcastle on the all-weather. I thought he looked really, really good that day. And he's going to make up into at least a minor group performer. The guineas was a little bit too hot and didn't go quite his way, but then that was a massive handicap performance. A 3-year-old in a handicap of 108 to run like he did, you know, finish second in the Coral Challenge, which it's not a heritage handicap, but to all intents and purposes, as form students, we should regard it as a heritage handicap. Sinjari had shaped unbelievably well in the Hunt Cup the time before, the only horse that beat him that day. And yes, Check and Challenge, I think he showed that in that race. It might have been a handicap. That was a Group 3 performance. And I think he can keep going on. He's still only had four runs in his career. He's got a really, really good turn of pace, which is something that often gets you out of a lot of trouble at Goodwood. And I just think he deserves to be favourite here. You know, he's only at the moment a quarter, half point shorter than Bayside Boy. He's a better horse than Bayside Boy. And I'm confident in that. So, yeah, I think Check and Challenge absolutely deserves to be this sort of price. And I'm not sure I'll be backing him at 2-1, but he is the horse I'm by far most likely to back in this race.
OK, so some strong words there for Check and Challenge. Are we in agreement with Keith, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Keith. I mean, I don't think there's many milers around who could have finished second in a handicap off a mark of 108 in such a strong race on their second start on turf, only fourth of their lifetime. I think this is a really good horse. I think he might even be a Group 2 horse, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, obviously, as Keith pointed out, wrong side in the Guineas. That was his first run on turf. I just feel like there's going to be a lot more to come, and I'm going to keep it simple. Yeah, I think he should probably be a slightly more rock-solid favourite, if I'm honest.
Yeah, he looks like he's got the progression. Bayside Boy, not sure about him. His kind of career maybe gone backwards a little bit. But, yeah, he's definitely still have to respect him. So it looks like it's between the front two in the betting. But strong words from the boys there on Check and Challenge. OK, the next race we're going to look at is the 3 o'clock at Goodwood. It's the Coral Golden Mile handicap, a very competitive handicap, one of the feature handicaps of the week. Noble Dynasty is your current favourite at 10-3 for the Godolphin boys. Another Godolphin horse is then second in the betting, Shining Blue at 15-2. Jimi Hendrix, the progressive 3-year-old at 10. Sinjari at 10s. Blue For You at 11s. Rebel Territory 12s. And Bigger Are The Rest. I'll come to you here first, Robbie. Quite a few in here you can make a case for, but was there anything that was standing out for you?
Yeah, I'm going back to that Coral Challenge form we're talking about with Check and Challenge. I mean, Sinjari won that, and he had the complete run of the race there. He was entitled to win it on his form because he ran a blinder in the Hunt Cup. But I thought Uzo was really unlucky, actually, there. He just didn't get run until it was too late. And he's officially £1 well in on official figures. I know a few of these are well in as well, but he's not badly drawn in stall 7. And he's opened up at about 20-1. I thought that was quite a good each-way bet, to be honest. I think that form at Sandown's pretty good, and I see no reason why he won't run his race again.
And how about you, Keith? Who did you like in the Golden Mile?
Well, you gave me a head of a big handicap like this. The figure is 133325. I'd say, well, that's the horse I'm putting in my play spot. But that's actually the draw of the winner in the last, what, 8 years or so, 7 years, however many I said there. It's a massive draw race. It's a horse where you want to be in that. You want to be drawn in one of those lower stalls. It's not so much a massively strong fancy, but Noble Dynasty just strikes me as a sort of horse. When I looked at the race and I looked at his profile, I was expecting to see 7-4, 2-1, and you're getting 100-30 as we're looking at this race right now. You know, everything about this horse screams he's a progressive profile. He won so well at Newmarket at the July meeting, gets a £3 penalty for that. He's absolutely chucked in off that. You know, he's a Dabawi half-brother of Barney Roy. It's just everything about this horse. Obviously, that draw as well, he's in three. And he's a horse that races fairly prominently anyway. He certainly made a lot of the running last time when he won at Newmarket. So he'll be kept out of trouble. He's got the best of the draw. He's got a massively progressive profile. He's got the pedigree to go on and become a group horse potentially. What's not to like about this horse? I mean, I don't see why he isn't one of these really warm orders in these handicaps. And he's a backable price. So he's the one I'd be pointing out here in a race that very few tend to get involved in.
Okay, so Keith thinks the favourite Noble Dynasty could potentially be a good thing in the Coral Golden Mile handicap. We're then going to move on now to the 3:35. It's the feature race on day 4. It's the King George Qatar Stakes, a Group 2 contest, sprint over the 5-furlong course. And Mabahi is your favourite at 7-2. We've then got Rossell at 4-1, Lazuli at 6s, Equilateral at 6s, Cardem at 13-2, Acklam Express at 7s. And Bigger Are The Rest. This might not be the strongest renewal we've ever seen of this race, Robbie, but it looks quite competitive on paper.
Yeah, very much so. It's a completely different kind of race than we used to see. And we're used to Battash coming in and winning at a short price. He did that four times over the last 5 years. Last season, he was beaten at short odds, but he retired straight after. Yeah, it's wide open. I mean, the market seems to think that the Coral Charge at Sandown is the key piece of form. It's got Mint Bahi, Rahsel, and Equilateral as the first three. I'll probably agree with that. I think out of those three, though, Rahsel kind of had the run of the race there. He was probably quite lucky to actually beat Mint Bahi and Equilateral, who is sixth. Equilateral just couldn't get out. He was forced to switch wide. He finished full of running. And Mint Bahi also, he was just by the rail, but he couldn't get that run until it was too late. I think Mint Bahi is going to be the one. He's the one in the field who's the real unexposed one. I mean, he's really turned the corner this season. I've been quite impressed with him. I think he's quite unlucky not to be coming in here on a seeking a four timer. He's about 4-1. I think that's very fair. And a lot of these are completely exposed. He's not. I think he's going to be the one to beat.
Okay, strong support there for Mint Bahi from Robbie. He thinks that he can reverse the form last time out with Rahsel. And how about you, Keith? How did you see the King George?
Well, I always feel a bit dishonest doing this, but I'm going to recommend something that's a little bit different from how I might actually play it myself. Now, Robbie's made a very good case there for Mint Bahi, and I'm going to back that horse because I was all over him in the race at Sandown. Coral Charge, when he was second to Rahsel, happened to agree with the assessment that he was the rightful winner of that race. You know, there was a neck in it, and I think he was more than a neck hindered by what went on in that far rail, but it's not to say he'd have beat Mint Rahsel by a length. So I've got a lot of history with this horse, and he's 4-1 at the moment. He'll be if I don't back him at that price and he wins, I'll be very angry with myself. So I'll be backing him. Although his form all this year, obviously, he's won at Hamilton and Sandown. This is a very different 5 furlongs. This is my only slight wrinkle with this horse. And the only one I'm going to back, all the pace in this race, and it's a race that's all about pace. The 5 furlong start at Goodwood's at the top of a hill, and they just turtle down for the first 2 furlongs, and then it flattens out. A lot of pace in the high stalls here. And the one I might recommend to people to have a little look at a bit of a price, because people have sort of assumed that Coral Charge form is the one to be with, and they might well be right. But I think Lazuli, who is in among all the pace but isn't necessarily a front runner himself, could be one to have a little look at. Improved a bit over the winter. He went in Dubai and got back to form. He'd actually won the Aberdeen Stakes, or the Palace House, the May before. And went over, had a really good winter out in Dubai, and then came back first run of the season, really, on turf. He turned up in the King's Stand. Ended up away from the action there. Right, that run off. Plenty suffer similar fates over 5 at Ascot. But he's got a lot going for him. You know, he's drawn in among where the action is going to be. We're obviously recording this quite early in the week, but the sprint course, the suggestion is that near rail or thereabouts is quite a good place to be. So he's in among the pace. He's in the part of the track that's starting to look like it's favoured. He still has form that puts him in the mix with some of these. So I just thought at that price, while everyone's getting excited about the Coral Charge, Lazuli might be one to have on side too. But I personally have a Mint Bahi because of my history with the horse. But I think Lazuli's the one, if I came in fresh to this, he's the one that would catch my eye the most.
Okay, so some more positivity for Mint Bahi, but Keith wouldn't put you off Lazuli as well for the Godolphin boys, Will Buick and Charlie Appleby. So that's our thoughts then on the King George. We're now going to move on to the last race on day 4 we're going to look at. It's the Lomerance Queen's Plate Gloria Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest, and Rebel Romance seems to be a warm favourite here for Godolphin at 7-4. We've then got Regal Reality at 11-2, Global Storm at 13-2, Fancy Man at 15-2, John Leaper at 17-2, Max Vega 10s, and Bigger Are the Rest. Keith, I'll come to you here first. Rebel's Romance, do we think he's a banker here?
I wouldn't be going in for a bank. He's not a sort of horse that I'd be getting tucked into those sort of prices. It's not a race I'm actually that heavy on from a betting perspective anyway. I would maybe direct a little bit of attention towards Fancy Man, whose performance in the Old Newton Cup last time was actually pretty good. And before that, he'd been running on the all-weather. He was actually third in the Winter Derby between, you know, Alan Keir, Lord North, and then Fancy Man, only a length behind, and then a massive gap to all the usual Winter Derby sort of horses, really. So he's obviously up to this sort of level. His runs since have been solid and suggested that he is as good on turf. You know, his level isn't far off what's likely to be required, and he's a much, much bigger price. than Rebel's Romance. So I would have directed a bit of attention towards him, but I'd say it's quite unlikely I'll actually be having a bet myself.
And how about you, Robbie? How did you see the Glorious Stakes going?
Yeah, I'll get that Angwith Fancy Man as well. Rebel's Romance is the right favourite because what he did at Newmarket in the Fred Archer was pretty impressive. That was also his first run on turf. I didn't really know much about the horse before that. He's mainly seen in Dubai, but there's obviously a lot of ability there. I just feel like this is a much stronger race than the Fred Archer. It's a good horse, isn't he? Real Reality is a good horse. I also think Max Vega is quite a good horse, and he's been a little bit underestimated at the opening prices. I like playing each way in nine runner fields where there's a favourite I'm not 100% on, who's quite short. And I just feel like Max Vega's probably a little bit better over 1 mile 4. He ran the Yorkshire Cup last night, Group 2, behind Stradivarius. He didn't really get home there. That was a bit much for him. But his previous Newbury run was really impressive when he beat Raymond Tusk, Stowell, who ties in with the favourite. Yeah, he's opened up at quite a big price. I just thought he deserved to be a bit shorter, and that's the way I'm looking at it.
Okay, so Max Vega for Robbie, a nice juice each way price at 10 to 1. So that's day 4 covered. We'll be back just after this.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Okay, so we now move on to the last day of the Glorious Goodwood meeting. And the first race we're going to look at is the 140. It's the Coral Stewart Sprint Handicap. It's the consolation race, though. Only 12 runners in here. Usually get a bigger field for this. Keith, I know we were talking off air about this race. Did you have a strong opinion on the consolation race at all?
The wider sort of context of it is interesting. A lot of these consolation races have struggled to fill this year, which is a sign of, you know, there's deeper and more political problems at the heart of some of those. But this race was an interesting one because there was about 35 horses reportedly balloted out of the Stewards' Cup itself, and yet only 12 actually will run in this race. And it's a 50 grand handicap, and you think, well, that's a strange sort of situation. Now, there's a couple of things going on here. Firstly, I think even allowing for this, 12 is a paltry number, really, out of 35 to actually go ahead. That's a third of them. Some of them are going to be in there's a sprint series final at Windsor on Monday night that's worth 75 grand. That's 50% more than the Stewards' Cup consolation. So you might find quite a lot of them turning up in that race. But overall, I just think people have spurned a 50 grand opportunity without much reason. And we've ended up with a 12-runner race. I mean, maybe... are some people scared off by Lethal Levi? I don't know. He's run his last two at the July course at Newmarket relatively impressively. Now, I was gutted about him when he won that race at the July meeting because he was sort of half on my radar, but hadn't backed him for that. He went and won it, and I thought, now that'll be him. He got a great ride, and I thought, that'll be him. He won't be winning any more good races near a hand, and then he won another good race last weekend over the same course and distance, same style, bounce him out, you know, and don't come back. That works really well on the July course. It can work quite well on the 6 furlong course at Goodwood, but that first furlong is uphill in the Stewards' Cup and Stewards' Cup consolation. So it's a little bit more of a deft balancing act to do than the July course where, you know, you're sort of bombing into the dip really from the get-go over six. So I think you'll be short, I assume. We've not really got our betting for this race as we speak. I'm not so sure. He's drawn in three as well, so he's quite a long way from that rail, right on the rail in 12, because the stalls are going to be on the stand side. Now, in the Stewards' Cup, it doesn't matter what side the stalls are on, they're across the woods of the track. This race, because there's only 12, it becomes interesting because nobody is going to be closer to the far rail. They'll all be middle to high. And right in 12 is Many a Star, who's a horse that's caught my eye a little bit here. Finished third over this course and distance back in April, having been quite well backed. That was quite early, or one of the first turf runs, certainly for the Coal Yard. And since then, one at Ascot, was quite impressive at Ascot, and the form's worked out pretty well. Both starts since, as I'm willing to forgive. Just looks like a horse that's still got a little bit more to give. £7 claimer Mohamed Tabti, who is perfectly good for seven, and actually impressed me for seven, but he's not Tom Orkand. And Tom Marcan's taking over in the saddle for many a star today. It's a big uplift jockey-wise for me, and I think there's still some unfinished business with this horse. So many a star to beat Lethal Levi for me in this race from what looks to be maybe the plum draw.
As you say, we don't have any prices yet, but yeah, many a star, one to keep an eye on there from Keith in the Stewards Consolation race. How about you, Robbie? Was there anything that you thought could be maybe thrown in here, or anything on your radar for the Consolation?
No, I did try and solve this, but it's just one of those races I will not be betting in. I'm going to sit it out.
Yeah, you don't have to bet on every race. So yeah, no thoughts there from Robbie in the Consolation Stewards Cup. Okay, the next race we're going to look at on Saturday is the Qatar Lily Langtry Stakes. It's a Group 2 contest for the fillies and mares, and Cedar Rosa is your favourite at 6-4. We've then got Emily Dickinson, who finished fourth in the Irish Oaks last time at 5-2. We then got Yes Yes at 5s, Glenarty at 9s, Urban Artist at 11s, and Bigger Are the Rest. I'll come to you here first, Robbie. Cedar Rosa, we've got the William Haggis, we've got the Sun and Holding colours on show here. Do you think bookmakers sometimes are just scared of these horses because they seem to always go off a short price?
Yeah, this is more my sort of race. I agree with that, yeah. That they do see any horse who's sea and the yellow and the purple star. I mean, well, they do tend to produce a lot of winners, in fairness. And in free wins, I think Cedar Rosa bumped into a proper Group 1 animal last time in the Lancashire Oaks. She's definitely the right favourite. I was drawn initially to Emily Dickinson, fourth in the Irish Oaks, and seemed to love 1 mile 6 in the Stenera Stakes a couple of starts back. He's really improving. But three-year-olds don't get as much weight in this as they did last year. They're £2 worse off. I'm not sure exactly why that is. But I think the market's got it about spot on with Cedar Rosa. It's not the best running, but it is very interesting. I'm going to stick with the favourite.
Okay, so Robbie's going to be siding with the favourite, Cedar Rosa. And how about you, Keith? Are you agreeing with Robbie, or do you want to take her on?
Robbie, I'm doing more sprinters this year, and Robbie's doing the stairs, and Robbie passed on a race that's more my neighbourhood last time, and I'm going to return the favour here. It's not a race I had many opinions in, and I won't be back. In terms of Robbie's mystery, in terms of the three-year-old stuff, though, I may have an answer to that that came up last year. Sometimes the weight for age changes when you go into a new month, so it might be okay. That this race might have been run in August last year.
That makes perfect sense, actually.
I'm not sure it's this case, but that can happen sometimes. So watch out sometimes. The weight for age will change depending on whether the race is in August or July, the second half of July. So just watch out for that.
Yeah, cheers, Keith.
Yeah, interesting there to see how the weight lands. It does, I think you're right, change every month and it gets less and less. It'd be interesting to go back and have a look at that. But yeah, this race is just being run in July. So that's the thoughts then on the Lily Langtry Stakes. Okay, the final race we're going to look at on day 5 of Glorious Goodwood is the feature race of the day. It's the Coral Stewards Cup, one of the big sprint handicaps of the year. And the betting looks like this. When the dealing is done, there's been a well-supported favourite at 8-1. We've then got Mr. Wagyu, who won at the Curragh last time out at 9s. Inverpark looking for a four-timer at 10s. Great Ambassador at 11-1. Potmaster 12, Summergan, the previous winner of this race at 12s, First Folio at 12s, Chill Chill at 16s, and Bigger Are the Rest. This looks a very tricky puzzle to solve. I'll come to you here first, Keith. At the time of recording, I've not got the draws in front of me. Do we think the draw will be important here, and who are you going to be siding with?
Well, the draw is always massively important in the Stewards' Cup, but the problem is that you never really know in what way. It's a function of pace a lot of the time in terms of everything. Because they are across the width of the track, the horse drawn in one can't come near side. So there's going to be a difference of opinion. There will almost certainly be multiple groups. The draw is hot off the presses, like you say. So we're recording this just after they've had the whole pomp and circumstance of the draw ceremony. But my first thoughts on it, having seen the draw, is that a lot of the pace is high side, not on that rail, so not 26, 27, 28, but low 20s. I've seen a lot of pace on that sort of bit of the track. Just Another Bottle is in 21, Mr. Wagyu is in 20, and Abel Kane is in 22. Now, they're horses that tend to stride on. So there, I can see quite a bit of pace middle to near side. And a horse that I had three or four on my shortlist. I'll probably back Great Ambassador again. I've backed him when a group one and a group three in his first two starts. Now he's back in handicaps where he ran so well before. He was third in the race last year and second in the Ergo Cup. So I'll give him another chance. But the main fancy, given the way the draw's shaken out, is Regional, who's in 27. He's right in, you know, he's just alongside all those pacey animals, and coming back to six, I think it's going to really suit him. He obviously he's improved a little bit of recently. He's only run 10 times in his life. He's improved and was second, won a second in a big race over in Doha. Came back at Epsom, didn't seem to be all that enamoured with Epsom. But then last time at Doncaster, he ran over five, beaten her neck by Burning Cash. And I went and watched that replay again just before we came on, and he shaped like the best horse in that race. He was out the back a little bit. He got maybe a little bit outpaced and then possibly hung in behind, but then rattled home, failed by a neck to beat Burning Cash. I think that form is really quite good. Burning Cash was an improving horse, has since gone on, and he was poor at Ascot next time, but look, right that run off, he got buffeted about, he missed the break, everything went wrong for him. Don't be put off by that Burning Cash run at Ascot. You've got Venturous, who's run well since, Samper 7, who's got all that pace and showed it at, in the Doncaster race. Lord Rutherford, who obviously won back at Goodwood earlier in this week. I think that form's good. Regional shaped like the best horse in it. He gets in off the same mark here. And I clearly agree with Ryan Moore's agent, because Ryan's gone and got the ride on Regional here. You know, he's coming to ride this horse for, I think, the first time. So Regional for me is a really progressive horse that I think is snuck in under the radar. You can still get 16s, and obviously because it's a big Saturday handicap, if you don't know by now, look out for those extra places. The very first firms went six. Sponsors are going six. I've not seen Skybet yet. They're the ones that tend to offer extra, but you know, maybe Skybet and Hills of Love are seven in this race. So look out for your extra place terms in this race, and Regional is my main bet in the race.
Okay, so Regional for Keith in the Stewards' Cup. And how about you, Robbie? Do you have one at a big price as well?
Yeah, one at a fair price. Summergand, he's been on my radar for this for a while. He's finally come down in the weights. He's gone down to a mark of 100. He's been, you know, running in sort of quality group threes and listed races. He's back in handicaps now. But his last two runs, I thought he's run really well. Sixth at York in a big field, fifth at Ascot in a big field to Rohan. Down to 100. I thought the handicap has probably been a shade generous, dropping £3 for his last two efforts. He'd completely gone off the board before that. But I mean, he won this 2 years ago off at £8 higher. And yeah, I could see him going really well again.
Just in point you make about Summer Gander, Robbie, because I think he's eight or something, isn't he? He's obviously a veteran now. If he'd run that race in the Wokingham like he did last time, but if he was four, there's no danger the handicapper drops him a pound.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very good run.
Yeah, so Robbie thinks then Summergand could possibly get another win in the race. Won it 2 years ago, and yeah, he's fallen down the weights. And yeah, he's always been a stalwart in these big handicaps, and yeah, could be there or thereabouts on Saturday. So that's it then for the last day. We'll be back in just a sec where we'll get some of the other guys, we'll get the guys' other fancies this weekend, and we'll get their best bets as well.
It's time for Goodwood to take centre stage with the Qatar Goodwood Festival. Natalie Green and Dave Orton will be guiding you through every day on Racing Post Live with Betfair. There'll be exciting reactions to races, live trades through the exchange, with fun and entertainment along the way. That's Racing Post Live, Tuesday to Saturday, starting at 1:30 p.m. Subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Okay, so that's Glorious Goodwood covered. This is the part of the show where we get the rest of the weekend roundup. I'll come to you here first, Keith. Do you have anything else for the listeners that they should be watching out for this weekend, but save your best bet?
Yep. A couple of races for me. Doncaster on Saturday. The card's sponsored by Unison, the union, I noticed. So you've got some interesting race names there, including the pay rise for the workers' handicap in the last. But the 4 o'clock's the race that's interesting to me. It's a high-class sprint. It's the races I'm spending most of my time on this year. And in that race, it's actually not the strongest not to 90 you'll ever see. I'm of the opinion that Dunkirk Lads, who ran in a not to 80 at York last time, is not really going up in grade. A not to 80 at York versus a sort of standard not to 90 at Doncaster that can often be races of equal competitiveness. And I thought he shaped really well, actually, at York last time. He was slowly away and was never quite going fast enough. And yet he picked through and beat all but two of them in a 15-runner race. Back at six now, That's, I think that's more his trip than 5.5 at York, because not only is it a bit shorter, but York's quite a speed track as well, famously on the straight course. So yeah, the Dunkirk lad's an interesting horse to me in that 4 o'clock at Doncaster. And then at Thirsk, now there's a 3:13. It's one of those races where two horses have been looking out for are clashing. So I feel a bit like I shouldn't recommend one specific bet at the moment, but I'm putting this on the assumption that Sir Titus and Modular Magic are both going to be, you know, neither's going to be 2-1 or 20s. They're both interesting horses. Modular Magic shaped like the best horse in a race here back at the tail end of April when he was beaten ahead by Ready Freddy Go, went too hard. And had excuses both starts since at Musselburgh. He's been blowing the start and things. If he blows a start again, I don't think he's going to get there at Thirsk. So for that reason, I'm erring towards Sir Titus, who's only had, I think, 3 runs so far for Michael Dodds. On the first of them, at Redcar, he immediately improved. And then in a race at York that was won by Illusionist, they went far too hard, and he did just about best of the horses that were up with the pace early on. So I thought he shaped really, really well in that race, which would be much stronger than this. It's a class 2 at York. You know, it's a much better race than he'll be running in here. And then last time at Newcastle, again, very warm race. That was on the Northumberland Plate Day, 6 furlong handicap, won by Ratia. He was on the wrong side. There was a little bit more to it than that, but I can forgive the run because he wasn't quite in the right place in that one. PJ McDonald's up, so, you know, Conor Beasley's down riding Comanche Falls, I think, in the Stewards' Cup, but PJ McDonald's not a bad substitute at all, is he? So Sir Titus, for me, was the most interesting in that race at Thirsk, shy of having prices.
OK, so a couple there to watch out for from Keith. And anything for you, Robbie, anything else that Goodwood we didn't cover or anything else this weekend running at some of the other meetings?
Yeah, got a couple I like in the 150 on Friday, the opener. Lovely staying races, the 2 mile, 4.5 furlong handicap. No stalls in this. The field can get really strung out year by year. I think it pays to have a front runner in this. And there are a couple I like. The first is Hydroplane for Ian Williams. Yeah, he made all at Chester last time, won really stylishly by 6 lengths. That was only his fourth run in staying race. He's 6 years old. There are quite a few in here that are much more exposed. I think he could go well. And Sylvester D'Souza's on board. I remember a few years ago, he rode Little Rockefeller to victory in this by 15 lengths, just completely took control. I could see the same thing happening again. And the other one is Sea Appeal for Richard Hughes. Interestingly, the Ballymore owner, Sean Mulryan, has bought into him since his victory a couple of weeks ago at Chelmsford. He made all there. Yeah, another really unexposed four-year-old. He's only run 3 times for Richard Hughes. But his last two performances have been his best on RPRs. They're both around the sort of 10, 11 to 1 mark. I think you're getting a couple of good each-way bets there. So, yeah, they're the other two to look out for.
Okay, so a couple of extra selections there from Robbie at Goodwood. So this is the part of the show then where we get the best bets.
This will not be beaten.
So, Keith, who is your best bet this weekend if you were just having one?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Stewards' Cup sets up so well for an each-way play because of the extra places you get. And the more I watch regionals run at Doncaster in a warm race, the more I think, bit funny, needs a bit further than 5, big field, 6 furlong handicap, surely. So he's in the Stewards' Cup regional. And an each-way bet on him is going to be my bet of the weekend.
Okay, so regional in the Stewards' Cup for Keith. And how about you, Robbie? Who is your nap?
Let's go for a big one. 3 o'clock Goodwood on Friday. Golden Mile Uzo about 20-1 each way.
Okay, so that's it then for this episode of the Postcast. Thanks again to Keith and Robbie for giving up their time. Hopefully we found you some winners on the final 2 days of Glorious Goodwood. If you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Until next time, goodbye and gamble responsibly.